Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to Data Drivers, our weekly show where we tell the story of an important topic in payments and commerce using only three data points. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Steve Villegas, the VP of Partner Management at PPRO. Steve, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Thank you very much for having me.
So today's story is an interesting one. I think we're going to take the temperature on the state of payments around the world in just 30 minutes using just three data points, but prompted by a number of very interesting news developments over the last couple of weeks, most notably the celebrating the one-year anniversary of the demonetization in India and all of the interesting stories that have emerged there about digital payments and the challenges of actually moving away from cash to digital methods. And I think that's a good grounding for the topic today. So, Steve, if you're ready, I'm going to dive in. What do you think?
Sounds good to me. I'm ready. Thanks for having me again, and I'm looking forward to speaking it.
Yeah, this is going to be a great conversation, very wide-ranging. So data point number one, 17.6%, and I'll bet only you, Steve, know what that refers to, but everybody will very soon, and that is actually the card penetration worldwide. When you look at it on a worldwide basis, that's not a big number, not a big percent. Still a big number, but not a big percent.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I think it's especially for us in the U.S. who have been using credit cards for as long as we can remember, and that's part of our everyday life. Everybody's always flipping out a card. Even when you go to Europe, you see that significantly, especially in the U.K. So then for North America, we're used to that. Around the world, that's not common. You go to a lot of different places around the world, and some are still cash-based. So it's pretty amazing when you start thinking about the differences that we have and how everybody else may be living. But certainly there's opportunity there for other payment methods and other areas that e-commerce, global e-commerce, can take advantage of.
So we made the distinction with respect to credit card, but there are obviously other cards that people use in different parts of the world. So, you mentioned Europe. So, debit products are certainly well used, as is direct to bank accounts. So help us understand a little bit of the alternatives that are used outside of the U.S., at least as you guys see it as you travel around the world.
Sure. And PPRO has really built a business off of what we call alternative payment methods. And in Europe, if you're in Germany, where less than 20% of the consumers have credit cards, they're using things like Sofort or SEPA and direct bank transfer. Over in the Netherlands, it's Ideal, which is their bank transfer network that they use there. And so all of these different payment methods are on rails that run from bank to bank or on specific cards that are dedicated for their area. And in the U.S., we're not really used to seeing those cards, but we hear about them oftentimes. So PPRO's been able to connect to those and now provide consumers through the payment providers in the U.S. and others access to many of those payment methods. But yeah, that's where the majority of the world is using different types of payment methods that we may not see here or may not be familiar with.
Yeah, it is interesting how these domestic schemes have emerged, and the challenge obviously now is enabling the acceptance of those domestic schemes when those individuals are purchasing online and don't necessarily want to buy from the local merchant down the street. So I think that's an interesting challenge when there isn't a consistent method that everyone uses to pay and could easily translate to a digital purchase.
Absolutely. And I think a couple of things to point out is we've seen research where traditional payments, as we think about them online, credit cards, are going to continue to shrink globally in terms of what's used in, from an e-commerce standpoint, and alternative payments will be over 50% in this coming year used globally. And you think about even this past weekend, we had Singles Day over in Asia, and that's really driven by Alibaba. And they did an amazing, I think it's like 25 billion U.S. Yep. And that's all driven online e-commerce, Alipay or AliExpress. And we're fortunate to be part of helping transact that throughout the globe. And that's just an example there of how when you look at alternative payment methods, that's really going to drive the future of e-commerce and provide an opportunity. And so connecting for U.S. e-commerce, for us to think about, consumers around the world are very interested in U.S. products. We have mm-hmm. a lot of great products here and lead the world in many of them. And so what happens, though, today is if a consumer in another country, in Russia, goes to a site in the U.S. and wants to buy a product, but they use Kiwi over there, and that consumer doesn't have a Visa or MasterCard to use, and doesn't see their payment method, there's a drop-off rate. And I think globally, if you go around the world, it's something like 50% shopping cart abandonment if I don't see the payment method that I'm generally used to using.
Yep, that makes sense. You know, there are a number of different influences that I think drive the various trends that you note. Are there things that specifically relate to technology that prevent this more standardized method of payment from happening in these different areas of the world?
Well, I think what's happened is traditionally the banking systems have developed their own rails within those different geographies and countries. So connecting to them they are making advancements to be able to connect. And there are larger corporations and larger banks, even the U.S. and globally, can connect to them. But what happens when you're talking about several hundred different payment methods around the world and connecting to each and every one of them and a variety of the technology that's involved, the time that's involved, the contractual relationships, and even the reconciliation, all of those pieces become a burden certainly for a merchant and even for an acquiring bank here in the U.S. or a payment service provider wanting to connect to them. It becomes a challenge to figure out, how do I connect, where do I connect, and what's the best business case for me to connect to. But eventually that becomes demand when there's a consumer on another area of the world that wants to buy a product. So I think the supply and demand are going to meet each other as that continues to take place and we become more of a globalized economy.
Well, I think, the interesting example of infrastructure and how technology can solve real problems and eliminate friction is obviously what we've seen in Africa with M-Pesa, where there was a real friction that needed to be solved. There was an opportunity using mobile devices, not even smartphones, to help solve that problem through the development of an ecosystem that basically enabled individuals who wanted initially to get money back to their homes in the villages to do that safely. So it is true that having infrastructure and new technology can influence how individuals decide what payment methods to use and then obviously how frequently and then the opportunity to expand that usage in other areas presents itself as well.
Absolutely. And I think what we're seeing is in the globalization and the movement to the unbanked population, which is really the second data point. When you look at the unbanked around the world, there's a need, and the mobile penetration is advancing, of course, across the globe. And as that happens, there's a need for development of other types of payment methods, and M-Pesa is a perfect example. But there's a lot of different e-wallets around the world as well. In fact, Alipay would be an example of a huge e-wallet that the Chinese use. But there's other e-wallets out there that are taking the place of what we traditionally would see as some type of banking method or a credit card. Or even bank-to-bank transfer, where it's wallets that are storing funds from various accounts, et cetera, that people are using to make these e-commerce purchases or other purchases. And so M-Pesa is a perfect example of it, where there was a huge need to be able to for folks in whether it's Kenya or other countries in the African region that were needing to have some type of payment method to provide, and really became a P2P method, but it's taken off, and it certainly is something that I think the rest of the world has to take notice of and recognize that there's large populations that have these e-wallets or other types of methods that they want to buy other consumer products, and we have to make sure that we are aware of that and connect to that technology in a way that we can provide them products and services.
Yeah, no, you alluded to the second data point, and just to put some data on that data point, 3 billion is actually the number of people worldwide estimated to be without a bank account. And, you know, that's obviously a humongous portion of the population that that does have now mobile devices and can be brought into the digital world, but it's a gradual process. I was really fascinated in talking to the GrabPay people. This is the payment arm of the Grab ride hailing scheme in Southeast Asia, and he was talking, that the head of GrabPay was telling me about the challenges of introducing digital payments into a cash-based economy, and how he needed to think about really enabling cash in and cash out in order to create a digital opportunity for these consumers. It was fascinating, but obviously necessary, because cash remains the predominant way of doing business in many countries still.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's many examples like that where their consumers may go to a convenience store, as an example. In Mexico, OXXO is an example of that, where they're using cash to pay for something they've purchased online, and basically they get a ticket or a voucher that they're paying for, and once it's paid for, it electronically transmits through that convenience store, and so they're able to get the product they purchased. But it's all, you know, they may be buying it online, but then they're paying for it in cash at a local facility that is then redeeming whatever they're using and able to receive their product. So yeah, there's a lot of methods that we have to consider around the globe that we're going to have to look at in those cash-based societies. As we know, global e-commerce is going to continue to grow, and there's going to be a need to bridge that gap.
Yeah, I mean, even in the U.S., I mean, Walmart offers that same capability. You know, cash is still a growing method of payment. You know, the number of people are growing, and even though the specific percentage of usage may be slowing in the overall scheme of payment methods, cash remains relevant in many countries, including still here in the U.S. Let's move on to data point number 3, which I think is very related to the first two, and I think will give us a little bit of insight into some of these economies that are emerging, and that's 38%. That's the average rate of growth of the 11 fastest growing countries, which is phenomenal. When you compare that to the growth of e-commerce in North America, that's 12% a year. It's amazing to look at the growth in these countries as being quite significantly above that.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing, and I think it's developing countries. It's countries that potentially have moved into a very strong mobile network, or even Wi-Fi enabled countries. But mobile is really driving a lot of it. And I mentioned Alibaba earlier, and what happened in China over the weekend with Singles Day. And in Asia, and you know, China's the fastest growing e-commerce at 64% year over year, and I think Alipay or Alibaba saw like a 36% jump on Singles Day this past weekend, which would, you know, the $25 billion of sales in one day, which is like two or three times what we see on Black Friday and Cyber Monday here in the U.S. There's just different regions that are growing significantly in the e-commerce side as I think it's some of it's technology, right? So technology, things like mobile are driving that, but also technology in terms of the web interfaces and ability to buy consumer products. And I think, you know, companies like Amazon obviously are driving and leading the way here in the U.S. but I think that's influencing other economies globally that are seeing an influx and increase in rising e-commerce.
So help us understand the environments in some of these fast-growing economies. So you touched on Mexico with OXXO and what they're doing, but what are some of the other developments that you're seeing there, as well as some of the countries in Latin America that seem to also be experiencing a lot of growth in e-commerce?
Sure. Will mentioned anywhere over in Asia, whether it's Indonesia or Malaysia, we're seeing a high percentage of growth in a variety of types, both the payment methods, the alternative payment methods that are bank transfer related, or e-wallet. There's several e-wallets now that we're connected to that we're seeing a significant amount of growth. And these e-wallets, of course, are being used. I mentioned the Kiwi over in Russia, and the Russian market is seeing a significant increase in e-commerce as well. And just all around the globe, you're seeing a variety of changes that are taking place that are driving a variety of payment methods, but are driving that e-commerce side.
Are there common denominators to each of these countries in terms of how they're approaching the move to digital? I mean, I realize they're all very different given the culture and the composition of the country, but are there common denominators in how they're looking to bring cash into the digital world?
Well, I think it's developed by region, right? And then there's types of alternative payments that may be taking place, whether it's a real-time bank transfer or a direct debit, or I mentioned the voucher with like the OXXO or a wallet. Those are the primary developments in various regions, right? So it's going to vary by region and what they're used to and how they work today. And certainly that's the biggest influence is how they're currently operating, but it is going to be more regionalized in various regions, whether it's, Latin America, where you see, like in Brazil, it's Boleto. In Mexico, I mentioned OXXO. And so you're going to see regionalization where there's a prominence to use a specific payment method that has been used over and over time. And now connecting to it from an e-commerce standpoint is really what other countries, other companies within those countries need to try to figure out how to connect to that, how to broaden the consumer base in order to produce goods and services for those countries.
Are most of these initiatives focused on solving country-specific problems in moving cash to digital? I mean, clearly a benefit is once you're able to do that, then there's an ability to shop on any online site, provided obviously that there's an opportunity for that method of payment to be accepted by that merchant. But is that what you're seeing, that these are to solve domestic payments issues and then to move there to more of a cross-border application?
So I almost think it may be the opposite within that country,
really?
Right? So most of the countries that are looking at this, every country wants to keep as much of the goods and services within its economy, right, and try to go abroad to address other areas of the world to sell their goods and services. So if you look at it from that perspective, I don't know if it's so much of a being driven by the need to move cash into an e-currency or to digitalize within that particular nation or country. It's more so of being able to offer products and services from our country and the companies within our country to other areas around the globe, and being able to connect the payments very easily. I think that's what's really driving it from a global e-commerce perspective.
So, I mean, Steve, I know you guys have been at this for a very long time. Clearly, mobile's played such an influence in now getting some of these new opportunities up and running. But what's some of the other catalysts for this rapid growth, and what needs to happen in order to keep the growth moving at that rapid pace?
Yeah, really, it's and what we've as we've entered the market, it's really been about trying to help simplify. And I think I mentioned at the beginning of the program that it's fairly complex for a company specifically, or even an acquirer within the U.S. or globally, anywhere, an acquirer or a PSP, payment service provider, to connect to all of these alternative payment methods. So a lot of them will pick and choose and find the markets where we see, and it's kind of a little bit of a cart and a horse sometimes, where an e-commerce provider may be looking at, maybe looking at a region and saying, hey, we're getting a lot of traffic from this region, but we're having a lot of fall off. So what's the common denominator here? Well, they have this payment method. We don't accept this payment method today. Maybe we should start offering that. So when you start getting into that level of detail, it's hard to cover everything. So what we found is that being able to connect to all of these alternative payment methods is what PPRO has done globally. We're connected to over 140 of them. And being able to provide one integration, because that's part of the issue is if you're a company or if you're an acquirer, connecting to all of these various payment methods, that's a lot of integration, a lot of IT infrastructure, and even the ongoing maintenance of some of these things becomes problematic for companies. So being able to provide a single source solution there, and then the contractual side is the other complexity of it, is all of these may require different different contractual agreements. So we've helped simplify that by providing one contract. And then really the reconciliation becomes the last hurdle for companies or acquirers is to, when you look at the reconciliation, some of these payment methods are daily payouts, some of them are weekly, some of them are monthly. So having to reconcile what's coming in from which country for which product that was sold, that's just another hurdle for the accounting side of the business. So we are providing a reconciliation function and helping to streamline that and simplify it. So that's really those are some of the hurdles that are challenges for companies to get into those markets and to establish a payment method that is recognized by that region. In order to sell. So that's part of the complication and part of what we're being able to provide to help simplify it.
I mean, aren't there two paths though on that journey? So you've got, my GrabPay example, your OXXO example, and others where it's the effort is to move cash to the ability to transact online, but that's not happening directed by the consumer. There's an intermediary there. There's a merchant. Obviously, what GrabPay is doing is enabling that same sort of cash on delivery payment kind of thing. So there's that, and then there
right.
are these domestic schemes that are direct to bank account. And those are the ones that need to be connected to enable a purchase online outside of their domestic market. It strikes me as two different problems to solve, but maybe I'm not looking at it the right way.
No, I think you're right. I think there are a couple of different issues that can be, and some of it could be consumer driven, right? There's a consumer demand there for wanting to use the payment method that I use today, or else I'm not going to buy that product from that certain company. And
right.
there's also the need to for economies and nations to recognize that the world is changing, and that there's even from a secure standpoint of making payments more secure. That can be both company culturally and nationally driven to help make that happen.
Do you think that the emergence of digital platforms? So obviously there's PayPal, there's Apple Pay that's moving into different parts of the world. Are those platforms almost a common denominator for enabling payments to happen, regardless of the underlying payment method?
Yeah, and again, I'll go back. I think some of those are similar to the e-wallets that we're talking about, where I've got my card connected to, or my payment methods connected to a wallet, and I can use that wallet at a certain place. And obviously, you know, Apple's been able to dominate the and other payment methods, whether you call it Samsung or Android, have been able to dominate the landscape on the mobile platforms, and being able to connect cards to those wallets. And then, of course, being able to enable those at a point of sale or a point of presence. I think that's a big driver in people recognizing that there's another way to pay that's more secure, that's in my hand, that I don't have to have cash, or I don't have to worry about, you know, a card being a credit card or some type of card being compromised. I think that's part of the driver.
We're approaching the end of 2017, thinking about 2018. It feels like this year has just really flown by.
I can't believe it's already Thanksgiving.
I know. As you take stock of 2017 and start to think about, you know, what 2018 has in store, are there milestones or events this year that you think will definitely determine the future of the method of payment, how we pay around the world? Are there things that come to mind that are bullet points on your strategic plan that everyone should be paying attention to?
Well, you mentioned the monetization changes within India, right? And I think as nations, as countries begin to look at what the current commerce looks like, and how do they become more relevant and more easy to do business with around the globe? I think that's a driving factor. And as economies continue to grow, and I think I would hope that people take notice of what we've mentioned a couple of times here of what's happened with Alibaba and the dominance they are playing in the e-commerce space, and the relevant, you know, the billions that they have produced just in one day. That there's huge markets out there that other countries haven't even tapped into yet, or have barely tapped into, and most companies within those countries have no idea what that landscape looks like. So I think there's events like that help drive the recognition of both that country itself. How do we become easier to do business with within our own commerce, and then other countries and companies recognizing that there are business opportunities around the globe that we need to figure out how do we invest time, energy, and resources in order to grow our own business.
Yeah, it's I think you make a great point about Alipay. I mean, there's obviously WeChat Pay, which is emerging as well, and how, you know, it's a very powerful digital platform that I think the world is recognizing as a force, and you're seeing lots of opportunity to enable Alipay outside of China so that those individuals can shop wherever they like to shop, including in the physical stores in the countries they visit, including the U.S. So it's interesting to see that evolution and those developments.
Yeah, and I think we're going to continue to see more wallets like those continue to appear and become a primary method in many of these countries that may be very cash-based today. Mm-hmm. And we'll see more and more of that becoming standardized for some of those countries and regions, and we already see that today in many cases, but that'll continue to expand, and everyone needs to take notice of that, just to recognize that it's not all about the credit card, even though, you know, that still dominates much of what we see from a commerce standpoint and even globally. But there's all these other payment methods that we have to recognize and see as part of the future of growth.
It's a very good point. Steve, thanks very much for all your great insight today. It was a fun conversation going around the world and talking payments. What could be better?
Absolutely. Karen, I'll mention one last thing. I think the one thing we didn't really spend a lot of time on, but that also needs to be considered, is cryptocurrencies. That's going to be another area of down the road that we're going to have to look at, and globally that'll be a piece to play. But I'm sure that's a conversation for another day. Probably spend a whole session on that too.
It's a conversation for another day. It's a debate, Steve. We'll have a debate about that.
Very good.
I would love, and I'd love to have it. So let's make a date and do it. But for today, thanks very much for your insights. I really enjoyed it. And everyone who listened, thank you very much. Have a great rest of the day and a very good week. Thank you.